It's a beautiful
end of summer, and we're all settling back into work. Gerard is coming off of the high in New York that he had. I'm coming off the high that I had the last couple of weeks in New York and Atlanta. And, well, good morning again, Barcelona. Happy autumn, and I think we've finally gotten past this extended and most uncomfortable summer. And today feels like wonderful, normal Barcelona weather, a little bit of chill in the air, but it's great. I'm Virgil, as always, and you're listening to English Radio Thursday on Radio Canal Barcelona, 106.9 FM. So yes, yes, we are settling back into our regular work schedules, and the kids are back in school, and folks are, you know, getting serious about work and all of the jobs that they have to do. But I guess one of the key aspects of the normalcy that we have is to be able to take a coffee and maybe have a little bit of nosh to go with it. Joining us today as someone who lives to provide those moments of salutary satisfaction is Monsieur Listwan, owner and head chef of Bergamot Pastry and Coffee. Welcome.
Good morning.
Well, before we begin to talk about all these things sweet and savory that you do, tell us about yourself. Tell us about the work you've done over the years and what you're doing now and your journey to Barcelona.
Well, yes, I've been here more or less 10 years, on and off, but first of all, I'm from Poland. This is when I was born, raised, and I left Poland when I was 20, 21. Started working all over the world, in the States, Ohio. This is where it all started.
In Ohio?
In Ohio, on the Lake Erie, in a small place called Putin Bay. That was okay. A summer job in like a private club.
Well, how did you find that in Ohio?
For college.
In Poland.
And they just sent me anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was like summer job stuff.
Okay.
I enjoyed it very much, and this is how I got in the kitchen, of course, because I could sell ice cream, candy or something,
right.
But I wanted to be somewhere where there's action and somewhere where I can get hurt or someone can get hurt because of me. But this is how it started. And then I came back there for the second season, and then I decided to go for it and started working in New York and Larchmont as
oh,
well.
Okay, yeah.
Westchester. But
of Westchester County, yes, right.
And then I got into Manhattan, and this is where it all got really serious.
Well, that's where everything gets serious. I mean, as you say, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. And you've obviously been in New York a few times, off and on. I know you were in New York City, obviously you're in Westchester County. You were in Brooklyn at one point,
Brooklyn
right?
As well, yes. 2 points. First, I was living in Brooklyn in Bay Ridge.
Okay.
And then in Williamsburg.
Okay.
But in between, there was always a little bit of Manhattan, Hell's Kitchen, and other places. But this is how it is. Altogether, 8 years in the States.
Okay. Well, it's not so bad at all. Well, we'll be back to talk more with our guest right after this.
Hey, and now I'm free.
the dark night and the bright sun, all one. The white sand and the black coal, all one. The poor soul and the rich soul, all one. My close friend and your friend's foe, all one.
To my soul, I am the bird that's flying high, feeling joyful as it flies in eternal sunrise. Waking to my soul, I am the cloud that's floating by in the spacious bright skies inside. Oh, waking to my soul, I am the sweet morning breeze as it rustles the green leaves, as it touches my cheek. Waking to my soul that has a yearning to be free, it's come and listen with me to one heart. Here and now I'm free for all that awaits me. Waking to my soul,
was All One by Alexandra Jackson. Interesting enough, she's the daughter of the former mayor of Atlanta, Maynard Jackson, where I was last week, and a nice byproduct of that, although she's become a New Yorker now. And that was this song that she did with Al Jarreau a few years back. But a great talent, great song. Well, talking with our guest again, you know, one of my own personal passions is cooking. Though baking is hardly anything that I can brag about. My cooking I can brag a little bit about. But where did your interest in cooking come from?
Well, this is how it started. It was started only in New York.
Oh.
I was lucky to work with some great chefs. And one of the places I started working as a kitchen help at first, it was for François Paillard, the third generation pastry chef from Nice in France. Right. His grandfather has a still pastry shop there. His father still works in that pastry shop. But François decided to go to the States, and he was working for many good hotels. And this is how he started. And then he opened his own places about almost 20 years ago. And
so, what did you do? You just walked in and said,
Just walked in.
You know, I've been selling ice cream in Ohio.
Kind of. I just walked in with empty CV, and I said, hey, guys, I work well. I'll show it to you and give me a chance. So they did. After they said, okay, come for 3 days, we'll try you out. And on the second day, they asked me, okay, chef wants to talk to you. And that was it. Hmm. This is how it is in America, right?
Well, there's great opportunities, but I mean, normally, I mean, the threshold's a little bit higher, but this is, you know.
Well, at first, when I was walking by, I said, okay, this place is intimidating, and I was afraid, but I said, why not?
Well, I mean, I think that's great, but I mean, thinking back to that again, I guess I'm still speechless thinking about it. Why not walk into Ben and Jerry's and say, hey, I've been selling ice cream. How about, you know, I come and, you know, start working with you making ice cream?
It's hard to find Ben and Jerry's in Manhattan. Dunkin' Donuts is easier, Starbucks. But
you're right.
Yeah, I mean, I just decided to go for something better, something that it's scary. An adventure, and
no question. But again, I tell people, you know, my mother always said, nothing beats a failure but a try. So you never know what you can do until you go in and say, let me try.
Yeah, I loved it.
So after 2 days, they saw potential in you.
Yes, and they said, okay, you got a job. This is what you're going to get. And how much would you like? I told them how much I would like. And the Francois Appaillard said, I'll give you more. And I was happy.
I mean, that's so incredible.
Yeah.
Right? First off, you walk in and you, with nothing, no background, no training, you know, say, hey, I want a job. And they say, okay, yeah, sure, come on, we'll try it. And then you say, okay, this is what I'm needing for my money.
Yeah.
Okay, but no, I'm going to give you more than that.
Yes.
I mean, do you go to church and light a candle and just say, you know, I've just been so lucky?
No, I just work hard and I always show how I work and I always try to find something to do and I enjoy what I do.
Now, looking at your background, your CV, you did have a mentor back in Poland who seemed to be an inspiration for you.
He's a chef, but he's from Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of these people that basically started the cuisine coming back to Poland after the communist times.
Mm-hmm.
Once the communist times finished, 1991, 92, he was one of these chefs that was hired by important hotels, places that they wanted to make it more important.
Poland does have a history of fine cuisine going back before, you know, the communist times, yeah.
Between the wars.
Yeah.
This is what happened. We lost our war a lot in between, you know, the communist times and the first war. That doesn't count. The second one, of course it counts. But then, yes, after that we needed someone new, someone to bring everything back. So this is how we started. And then he just stayed in Poland. And how we met. We met on the Facebook.
Really?
Yes. I was coming back from Denmark when I was working. And I decided, okay, I'm coming back to Poland. Let me just chat with some people. And I started chatting with some people. Who should I contact about the job or anything like that? And this one guy said, okay, this guy, I'll let him know that you're coming. And he contacted me and asked me if I want to meet to teach pastry at his academy. And this is how we started. I learned a lot from him, from cuisine, and he learned from me about pastry a little bit.
Excellent. Now, this was after you had been in New York, you went back to Europe. Okay. Now, obviously, I would say you have a charmed life, that you just, you know, met somebody on Facebook and you met other people here, and it just all came together, this great melange of creation that you made here. Now, with him, I mean, what did he give you? How did he inspire you?
First of all, he told me, don't trust anyone in Poland, in the cuisine and the restaurant business. He said, always ask for money up front. So I told him to give me the money up front. But in general, he was very, very generous with his time, with everything. He set up classes for me, the time schedule. He gave me the chance to show what I can do. And we also had, we were one of the first to start teaching the classic French pâtisserie in Warsaw, in Poland. So what he did, he said, okay, this is your first course. You're going to have 12 people. And he planted one of his friends there without telling me. He told me after the course. He was a head chef of a good restaurant, and then I passed, I guess.
Right.
And it became really, really good relationship, and for many years now, and we still keep in touch, and, well.
Now, obviously, pastry was your specialty, but did you at some point move over into a broader menu range? Or?
I decided to stay in basics, in classics, but of course I venture into chocolate and other stuff because it's needed. But I decided to stay with basics, with the core, because I think in life, when you start with the core and where you start with basics, it's very important to know the genesis, where you come from, where everything comes from. So even learning about simple ingredients like butter, margarine, sugar, where everything comes from, it's important. Then you can create everything else.
No, I mean, from that standpoint, I mean, obviously classical French cuisine emphasizes a lot of natural things, butter particularly, sugar very definitely, cream, heavy creams and all that. Have you at any point been influenced by a lot of the trends in food to lower calories and all the rest of this kind of thing?
Well, it's popular, of course. No gluten, lower calories, right. No sugar, no fat, low fat. It's all popular. It's good for everyone, but I go for real stuff.
And I'm so happy that you do. Because that's what when I went to your place for the first time, two things that influenced me and made me want to come back. The quality and the richness of the food and the fact that you play jazz.
Thank you.
Well, we'd like to talk more about both of those things right after this.
Like you mean it, do you mean it? Touch me like you need it, like you need it. Yeah, I see the way you didn't look me. I should be the one that is teasing. I want Bobo and Shady Bitty. Look at them, what fair you should be. I know you want. Time is running out. I better get it now.
That was Get It Now with Tiwa Savage and Omarion. Talking about getting it now, we were just talking about living in different parts of the world and how living in Barcelona is wonderful, as we all know. But in the comparing it with New York, and again, New York can be difficult at times, but it all can be wonderful most of the times. Now, you've lived in many, many places, worked in many, many places around the world. How did each of these places contribute to your style as a chef and as a person?
Well, it's mostly the history and the people. Whenever I went to Lima, Peru, or even Paris, France, it's about people, local people that you meet. By meeting the people, you usually meet where? Restaurant, bar, or just a simple coffee. And the best place to talk, to meet, of course, it's at the table. When the food is on the table, people open up, people start talking, and this is how you meet and how it, everything influenced me, everything in life. In Lima, Peru, how people work hard all their life, every day. They really have no weekends, no Sundays.
Right.
But at the same time, they always have time to prepare and make food, and food that it tastes incredible. It's not just fast food. It's super fast food, but it's amazing. In Paris is different. In New York is different, of course. Yes. In Copenhagen is very different. The life ends at 4 p.m. Everyone else, everyone goes home and just drinks beer and eats pork. I don't know. But that was Denmark. So I had a lot of time to think over there what I want to do.
Well, one of the things I like about your shop is that there's a very much of that kind of a personal feel. I mean, you and all the people who work there engage very well with the customers. You know, it's not a case of, you know, what do you want? You know, here it is, and you go away. I mean, there's always a smile. There's always an openness that is welcoming. And I think that from that standpoint, it's a very good thing.
Thank you. We try, but I learned that in America, in the States. And it started with Ohio, of course, but because customer service in America always better be on the top. And they say the customer is always right, but here, not so much. But we still keep that same quality or even better of the service. We know how important it is. And, of course, Europe, Barcelona, Spain, they're known of not so good customer service.
We try
to be the opposite.
Very, very true. You succeed. Now, again, apart from the service, just the style of pastries. If we look at pastries, let's just say, in Egypt, or pastries in Italy or Germany, compared here to Barcelona, what do you, is there a consistent theme, or do you think there's a specific taste and preference in Barcelona that kind of separates from other places that you've been?
Well, Barcelona is different than the rest of Spain, but anyways, here more important for many customers, locals, let's say, not tourists, but locals, is the ease of getting things, and all they care is about just sweet, more sugar. Flavor, it's on the second option for them, and it has to be easy, quick, but it's changing. A lot of young people, local people as well, a lot of local chefs, they have plenty of them, of course. Ferranadia inspires so many. They're getting in there. Hoffman is great pastry bakery, and there's a couple other ones, La Pastisseria,
right,
as well, world champion. He's a very young guy. And I like him a lot. I like Capuades, Escriba is famous. And I like everything. But what I have decided to do, I decided to make everything by hand myself. I hardly use any machines to create anything. Everything is by hand. So, yeah, this is where I come from. Maybe that's why we don't have so many products. But when we have them, they are
very, very good. You're very, very good. Now, first off, lest I forget, you know, where is your shop and where can people find out more information about it?
My shop is on Calle Casp 41. It's in Exempla, and it's basically close to Calle Brook.
Right, between Brook and Girona.
Yes.
And you're open what time?
Well, we open usually Tuesday to Sunday, Tuesday to Friday from 8 to 8, and on the weekends from 8 till 1. Monday is day off. Traditionally, as pastry chefs in France have Mondays off. And we decided to have Mondays.
I was always wondering why you were closed on Mondays. Now I know.
That's the way. Okay. We keep it traditional, but the French style.
not so bad at all. Now, one of the things that I like about it, and I think it is true, that you know you don't overly sugar your food. I mean, you want like your almond pastry. You want us to be able to taste the almonds in there. The chocolate, you want us to be able to taste the chocolate and not have it overwhelmed by sweetness.
Well, that's important. Sugar is good, but of course, I just use as much as needed. No more. Never. I create things sometimes myself. Even the croissant recipe calls for sugar. I try to limit that just because it's important to have more flavor than sweetness. But sugar is there for the dough as well. It took me about 3 months to get the right recipe for them. So, yeah, it's a lot of time. But sugar, yes, we use as little as possible. But you can always, you are welcome to add your own sugar to things. Whatever you like.
Now, well, you talked a little bit about, you know, the concept of gluten. There are people, like one of my friends, tennis partner, she is... has an issue where she can't eat gluten. Are you making anything without gluten in your offering these days?
Well, not so much because, first of all, we have one cake, one which is flourless chocolate cake. This one has no gluten, but instead has huge amount of butter, eggs, and sugar, and chocolate, of course. But gluten, yes, that's the only one without gluten. Some customers ask for it, but we decided to go the classic way. What used to be made, we are making. I try to limit gluten by fermenting the dough for the croissants. In the old times, the right fermented dough for bread, for anything, it almost didn't contain any gluten because of the fermentation process was right, what's done correctly. So the croissants have gluten, but not as much as you would buy any other croissant anywhere else.
I'll have to bring her some. And say, you know, you're trying this, but you know, if you start swelling up, then I know it's not, you know, not enough.
You swell up for different reasons, I guess. The butter and the sugar in it.
Right. Yeah. Well, you're listening to 106.9 FM, Radio Canal Barcelona, English Radio in the Morning. We'll be back with more of Bergamot's Menu right after this. We'll be right back. And that was Hassan Al-Muzair with Jamila. Well, you serve more than pastries. You know, what other food items do you offer?
Well, as well, we have some classic sandwiches, croissant sandwiches that I create as well. Very simple. It's a Gruyere cheese with a good quality ham. It's jamón serrano. And some simple drinks. But, yeah, nothing too overcomplicated. Super simple. Okay, easy to serve and easy to take out.
I mean, that's your version of the croque monsieur. And
we don't do that as well. No, we don't play. We don't grill things. We just do what we have, very simple things, and cold cuts, some cheese, and good bread. I sometimes buy bread also at the local bakery here around the corner. And it's ecological. It's handmade as well. We're happy with them.
Okay. So, I mean, it's in keeping with your tradition of how you want to have food made. I think, again, the idea of just having, you know, simple bread, cheese, you know, cold cuts, all you need to have is a little wine to go along with it, and it's the perfect day.
Well, we're going to sell soon.
Oh.
Wine and cava.
Oh, so. Perfect. Perfect. No, I mean, I think it's good. I think it's the thing that I find too often with small business people. They start off with a very, very good vision, and then all of a sudden they think, well, I need to expand more, I need to make it bigger and whatever, and they all of a sudden lose sight of the original vision.
It's very tempting many times. It's very tempting, but I've been working in a few other places before. I've seen them rise and fall just because of a simple mistake as this. Expand the menu, put some new items that are popular and so on, lose your spirit, lose your original soul. Mm-hmm. I tried to keep what we were from the beginning. We added a couple new sandwiches, but just because people were asking for it, very local way,
right?
That's it.
Right.
Everything else is what we've been making. I created a new one recently, a pastry, which is cinnamon bun, let's say, but it's my way, of course. Has to have a lot of butter.
It's not like the Cinnabon that you get in Port Authority, New York.
No, this is based on the croissant dough, so it's different, very different. It's as well fermented, has just cinnamon, butter, sugar, and dough. So simple, nothing else.
Are you getting hungry out there, folks? Because we are. We're looking at, he brought us a little care package here of goodies, and the folks in the studio are enjoying it greatly. And I stopped over there before I came just to have a little fix to get me in the right frame of mind to be able to talk about it. And maybe I'll go back and, I've never tried one of your sandwiches yet. I'll have to do that.
Well,
I'll have to know what's wrong with me. I mean,
the Gruyere cheese is really, really good stuff, especially with a good ham and on my croissant. I think this is very nice lunch when you have a small beer or small wine or even just a coffee. Even coffee we have. So we get the coffee from Café de Finca. It's a producer from Castelldefels.
Mm.
They were the first one to start a roasting coffee from single origin in 2009. So our coffee is specialty coffee as well.
It shows that you've thought through your menu. You've thought through what you want your business to be.
More or less, yes. When you take money from, you know, your own pocket, from the bank, from friends and everyone else, you better think through what you want to do with it. Other way, don't open, go, just have fun, spend it all on something else. But when you open business like that, on your own, I don't have any partners, it's just myself. You better have it the right way, because it's the only shot.
Well, I think that's interesting. I mean, I talked to many people about, you know, businesses they've set up. What did you do when you decided to come back to Barcelona, first off, and then say, okay, I'm going to recreate or create, you know, my vision of a shop? I mean, how did you start off?
It just started. I was working a little jobs here, there, in the places, and then you all of a sudden you have enough for working for people that don't understand you. That's it. Yeah. And then you say, okay, let me get a phone. Let me call my friends. Let me call my parents. Guys, I'm putting this together. What do you think? Okay, no problem. And this is how it started. Within 4 or 5 months, we started working on our place, and 3 months later, we opened.
Well, that's the other thing, is people to find the right location.
That was quite easy in Barcelona. Hmm. All I wanted, I said to myself, I don't want just a place with one door and then the corridor. I wanted windows.
Hmm.
It's hard to find windows, but when I saw this shop, I said, this is it. Three big windows, nice street, lots of traffic, a good location. That was it.
I think it's great because the location is very good. You're right there in, it's still in the Champla. It's still, you know, heavily residential, but it's also a lot of businesses around. So I would imagine you get a lot of folks, you know, coming by for lunch or, you know, in the morning, going to work and after work, grabbing something to take home.
Especially in the morning, we have it's mostly customers in the morning. Lunch, not so much because we're not into creating so much food, but it's about coffee, pastry, something quick to grab. We have a lot of tourists because there's a lot of businesses, hotels, apartments for rentals. So I would say 50% of our base is local, and then the rest is tourists, which is great.
And TripAdvisor and all those have been very good for you.
Yes. Well, they've been good because we are good.
Good point. No, that's very, very true. That's very true. I mean, folks only come as long as, you know, there's something there worth coming for.
Yes. It's important for me to have a happy customer. That's the most important. Even if they just come once, but they will remember it. And I like, especially when we have people from France coming, and funny, but they come to Barcelona and they go to place when we make classic French things, and it's very nice when they say, oh, this is how I used to taste things like that in my hometown or in the place I used to go. And that's the biggest compliment. Or big smile when I see people coming in from a street. They don't look around. They just look in that one point that they want to get. And there is a huge smile on their faces. And I know, okay, they just came for that.
Well, the thing that's great about your shop, again, first having the windows, and you look into this very nice expanse, you know, very classic, almost French boutique kind of layout.
It's a mix of New York a little
and
bit.
And then New York, you've got the New York display case right there as you come in the door. So automatically your attention is focused on what am I going to eat? And so they come in and say, all right, let me see what's here. And then they become mesmerized and say, all right, do I want two of this one, two of that one, and just go from there.
We also know the tricks of a trade. Give people what you can as a gratis, how they call it here. And they come back. It's easy. It's very easy.
It is.
It doesn't cost much. And I like to do that. I really like to spoil my customers.
Now, looking at that, again, we talk about, you alluded to the fact of being able to run a business. Where do you think you want to take Bergamot going forward?
Keep doing what we're doing the best. Stay where we are. But we'll see what happens. More people come, that's good. As long as we can handle it. I would like to have some more days off, so I want to hire someone for the kitchen for weekends. Because so far it's just me in the kitchen, always me, 6 days a week. Mm. I start day in the kitchen at 4 a.m. and finish afternoons. So
you haven't found a young person like yourself that you want to bring in? And
I've been bringing some people from Poland because I started a little project on the side. I like to share what I know. I like to share what I do. And where I used to teach, I basically posted on the Facebook with people I used to be in contact with if they would like to come from Barcelona for 2 weeks or 1 month and work with me. I provide them room, I provide them work, and all afternoons they have for themselves.
Not a bad deal.
And I don't have secrets. They know what I know. I teach them everything I know. My recipes are no secret recipes. I teach them everything I make, the way I make, and a little bit more. About life, I guess.
Right.
It's like, okay, to get up at 3 a.m. every day, it's tough. But then it's very rewarding because you see Barcelona waking up, people coming from the parties or still at the parties.
Right.
Especially on a Friday or Saturday night.
That's perfect. We'll be back to talk some more with our guests right after this. And that was Marcus Miller with Trombone Shorty doing 7 T's. We were just sitting here talking about the process of baking and talking about why his products are so good. And I just got an education in terms of being able to make croissants, which is very interesting. And just there's really, really more into it. And we started talking about how things are different in Spain. You know, we talked about how pigs are... the Iberian ham is flavored with acorns. And we talked about the butter is different here. Spanish butter is different from French butter.
Obviously. French put more effort and time into making butter. In Spain, it's just butter.
But again, it's a matter of, you know, certain amount of fat and salt and whatever you created.
Well, butter, yes. 82% of fat from cream has to be at least, and then it's called butter. Before that, it cannot be called butter legally. It's like with beer, but in France, they of course crazy about butter. Goes from 83%, 82 up to 99%, and it has to be elastic and cannot break up, cannot have other things added. So over there, they really, really crazy about it. Also with flour quality, I have a very, very, very tough time finding a correct flour in Spain here, because the quality is not checked. Opposite to France, when the quality for flour, for product, is being checked constantly to keep the same level. So you're not surprised. I see it every day. I get the same flour, the same producer. One batch is different from another one. The content of gluten is different. I can see it right away when I'm rolling them by hand and I see how the dough behaves. So it's difficult. It's difficult to do things like that by hand. You have to have a good supplier or spend a lot of money for getting
a foreign product and bringing it in. Interesting. Now, you were talking about how you roll out 32 layers of pastry in your croissants.
Well, in my croissants, there's 16 layers of butter. Okay. Usually should be 32, but I make everything by hand, so all the folding of the layers I do by hand. I don't use machines for that. That's why it's only 16 layers. If I go for more than 16, 32, the layers will start breaking up just because my hands are not perfectly like the machine. So we'll stick with 16 layers of butter in the croissant. I think it's enough.
So there's 16 layers of butter, 16 layers of pastry as well.
Yes, so. Of the dough.
And then now with your chocolate croissants and your almond croissants, then you're adding even more layers.
Well, yes, because it depends on how you fold it. But yeah, almond croissants, chocolate croissants, and then my chocolate croissants are a little bit different than the classic chocolate croissants just because the way I cut the dough and I shape them, it's my way. No one else does it like that. I think they look really pretty because of that.
Well, I think they really are pretty. I think, again, you know, all you folks out there listening, you probably are conjuring up these images of wonderful things, and they are wonderful. So you should get yourself over to Calle Casp 61.
And 41.
41.
Yes.
And see what's going on in Bergamot. It's really, really, really very, very fascinating. One of the things that Chef was telling us, you know, during the break is how he is really looking to encourage the development of younger chefs by having them come from Poland, come here and spend time with him. Do you see that you could do the same thing with the people here, young people here? And I don't know if we have
anyone.
I don't know if we have an école de cuisine and art here in
Barcelona. Has many, many really good pastry schools as well.
Really?
Yes. Pastry courses, pastry schools, but not too many of them teach classic French pastry because they teach, of course, what they do here in Spain, in Catalonia, Catalan cuisine and patisserie. But, of course, there's people that, like us, expats, that want to learn and they don't have time to go to schools. But, of course, I would like to start a project here one day. Right now, I'm with that project from bringing people from Poland here because for them it's as an adventure. The last person was here, that was a girl. She hardly turned 18, but she's super independent. And she was on one of my courses in Poland when she was 14. And by the law, she was not allowed to be on my course, but her mom was with her there. So we made it work. And then I asked her if she wants to come and continue education. So she was here even a week ago, for the last two weeks before. She stayed. I provided a room. I have a dog, Charlie. He was her best friend for a couple of weeks, but all afternoons she had off. But she was with me every day. Whenever I was in the kitchen, she was there. Sometimes she was leaving earlier when I said, okay, don't worry. I didn't make her wash any dishes. She did it herself once only because she wanted to. They come here to learn. They come here to do everything what I do and more. I also taught her about how to make a good coffee, espresso, cafe con leche, cortados. Mm. So that I learned in New York, a lot of that, about a good espresso, which is weird, very close to City Hall, but it's a different story. But what I know, I always try to give even more. And I also learn from them a lot.
Well, I think it is. I think to me, it says that obviously she had a great deal of passion for what she saw as her own personal vision. And the fact that you were giving her this opportunity to fulfill that passion, I think is fantastic. But again, her motivation had to come from inside herself.
Yes. She knew since she was very young what she wanted to do. Her next step is going next year into Cordon Bleu, but the one in Madrid. I wasn't the one in Paris, but she's going to the one in Madrid, and she wasn't sure if she wants to go to Madrid, London, or Paris. But after long talks that we had while we were working, we decided, okay, go to Madrid. Why? Because first of all, it's going to be cheaper. And second of all, she's going to learn Spanish. Third of all, she's going to be close enough to here. I said, you can always come back if I'm still here. And she's going to come back anyway this winter for a couple of weeks in the winter break. She wants to. I said, no problem.
Okay, well, good. I think it's fantastic. I think it's really, really fantastic. I think because it's, again, I think, you know, it's part of what I say is that you have to pay the rent for the life you have here. And this is one of the ways that you're paying back by helping develop future talent, which I think is fantastic. We'll be back for some closing comments right after this. Well, we're coming back to you right now. That was Hill Sent Soul with Until You Come Back to Me, an old hit from the 60s. We're here again talking about the wonderful world of bergamot pastries. We talked a little bit about your future. Every business owner has a vision. What's yours?
My vision? I just had an idea today when my mom was crying to me on the phone. And I said to her, don't worry, mom, you will retire one day and you're going to have things to do because I want to do something in Poland, in my hometown. I guess I want to educate people about French pastry there as well because, as we all know, everywhere, whatever you see croissant or any supermarket or anything, you know it's frozen, you know it's been made by
machines.
You have no idea who and what's in there. So, yes, that's the vision, that's the plan. But my life is here in Barcelona, so I'll be traveling there. She will have something to do as a elderly person, and I hope she's not going to cry to me every day on the phone about things that she's missing someone.
But, well, moms are that way.
Yeah, crying mother can change your mind about many things.
Very true. Well, we've had a wonderful day talking with our friends here. Again, tell them where the shop is, where they can find more information about it.
Calle Casp 41. It's between Brook and Girona. Exempla. And we open from Tuesday to Friday, 8 to 8. And on the weekends, from 8 to 1.
And you can find information on Facebook.
And Instagram. Bergamot Barcelona.
Very easy. Very easy. Well, have a great one, Barcelona. It's been fun. I'll probably go out and have lunch a little later on at Bergamot and try one of the sandwiches, which I've never tried before. We'll be back next Thursday talking about music and more. Have a great one. We're going to leave you with a song by one of my favorite places. It's called New York Song.
Possibilities that never felt so real and right, and now are my reality. It feels like home already. I've dreamt it for too long. I've been waiting my whole life just to sing New York my song. Like to shovel snow, and sure the sky looks nice, but those huge buildings hold more life. I'll seize the day when I'm walking in their shade. My mama always taught me to trust and visualize. Yeah, for 20 something years now, it's kept my hopes up high. The city calls my name, and I know I've been waiting my whole life just to sing New York my song. Please let